covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, that our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached in you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. We see this thing deals with the preaching of the gospel here. You got 20 verses in this chapter, 479 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in your King James Bible. This particular chapter at a 10.5 grade level. I always check each chapter. Some of them are first and second grade chapters. You know who has the most difficulty with them? These so-called know-it-alls. The simplest chapters kill them. They'll come to a chapter like this and be able to explain every word and everything, but you get them on something simple, they'll just about blow up. But I want to show you something tonight. Paul not only deals with the fact of the Word of God working, but he shows something tonight that's something everybody needs. Do you know if a man pulls you over on the side of the road and he's got a blue light on his car, that don't make him a policeman? He has to have certain credentials. Is that right? Is that right, Andy, brother? Are you a highway patrolman or something? The what? Oh, that's even worse. That's far worse. Any man that comes and says he can lock you up has to have certain credentials, amen, right there. But they got to have credentials saying stuff. You know, you've heard scams going on recently where people come to people's house and say, we're from the utilities department. And they'll get to somebody's house and rob them and things like that. I got news for you. Utilities department don't come out. They send a bill and they don't want to see you. They don't want to see you when they cut your water off. They don't want to hold a shovel up and smoke a cigarette until it's time to quit. That's right. Go to Spartanburg City. Anytime over there, go out to I-85 while they're fixing the highway, you know, and all that. Listen, you got to have credentials for that thing. Somebody shows up at your house and says, I'm with the IRS. You better not believe that. They got to have all kind of credentials to show up from the government like that. Somebody shows up at your house and flips a badge and says, I'm with the FBI. You better call the police. You better call the police on them. Something's wrong. They ain't showing you the right credentials. But can I tell you this, and I'm going to show it to you from the Bible. Just because it has stained glass, steeples, and a parking lot, and has a so-called Bible with them, don't make it a church either. There are certain operating things about that church. It has credentials that'll let you know whether it's a church or whether it's some social club. You read where Paul said we didn't worry about them flattering words everybody told us. When Paul came to town, they didn't show him the Holiday Inn. They showed him the jailhouse. It's unusual how we do that thing now. We got a bunch of people running around America calling themselves an evangelist and never won nobody to Christ. They've never evangelized. We've got missionaries that go around this country and say they're doing all kinds of things. They're doing everything but a mission. They rob themselves of a blessing because they don't have the credentials to do what they're doing. Since our guy's a jailer here, let me ask you something. You ever been in a fight down there? They don't pay me enough to go down there and fight with you or them on either side. I'll be honest with you. I won't say the name, but it rhymes with Jack Knoll. He used to work down there. And I went down there, and Jack was one of the nicest old men I'd ever met. He had married my aunt. He was a Yankee in spite of everything. He was pretty nice to us kids back in the day. And come out there one day, and he said, I want you to come by and see the jail. You never been down to jail before. I said, I don't want to go down to jail. He said, come down and show you the jail. And we went down to jail, and everybody walked by him and said, can I get it? He said, shut up. And then there was a sign we walked by, said, this is not Burger King. We will not have it your way and all this other stuff. And I thought, man, what happened to Uncle Jack? He walked in here, became an awful person. They got this anti-Burger King logo going on here. And I asked him, I said, why are you acting like all this? He said, because I don't want them to be repeat customers. That's right. Thought that makes sense. Some of you act that way towards your wives. Guess what? She ain't going to be a repeat customer if you keep on. That's for free, amen. That's just for free tonight. You can't be like all that. You got to quit meddling, huh? But listen, here's the credentials we're going to see in this outline tonight of chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at the credentials of a church. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, God, and we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. Pray you'd bless the Bible Institute, bless the instructor, the students. Help us, God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Word of God. We pray for the ones that's over in the next building. God, as they over here with us, you'll bless them and help them. And Lord, we love you and thank you for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we see the credentials of a church, I want to show y'all first, we see their plan. When somebody starts a church, they ought to start a church because of the right reason and not the wrong one. If you'll notice in verse 1, he says this is how the plan was received. He said, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." You'll understand this from just those two verses. Their plan was to do something for the Lord, and that's why any church should start is for the Lord. It should never be to show somebody down the road how it's done. When a church splits off another church, there's probably 50 of those in this town right now, but listen to this. Not one of them split over doctrinal issues. And if there is, you come to me later and tell me about it. I'm to mark it down to be the first one I've heard of. I've heard them splitting over the preacher's salary, the color of the carpets and the color of the drapes, whether or not they're going to build a family strife center or whatever else that thing wants to be called. I've seen all that stuff come and go, but I've never heard somebody say, well, they didn't believe the Bible. That's why we left there. They didn't believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I've never heard that from them. But I have heard how they went down the road and showed them. I've read church minute books where it says, well, we're showing them. Ain't that sad? No wonder nobody wants nothing to do with us anymore. We so mean we can't get along with each other. They don't want to come down here and get, you better come to church, boy. But listen to me. Their plan, the plan was received, and it wasn't in vain. And if you know, he said it come to you in much contention. Their plan, the plan was received amidst a bunch of problems because the devil does not like churches starting for the right reason. He knows if they're started for the right reason, they're not started with 50 members over here from another church and 75 over here, and then a bunch of derelicts that come from north side, east side, west side, and south side and wore out every carpet in the county and then come over and say, oh, we're going to get us a good church now. That ain't how you do it. What'd they say they did it with? They said that they, to speak unto you the gospel of God, it said with much contention. You'll find out as you work for the Lord, the closer you get to God, the closer you'll get to the devil. Amen. He'll try to be in between you and him at all times, and he'll be causing trouble in everything you do when you are doing the right thing. Amen. Listen. Paul said about this thing in 1 Corinthians 16:9, a great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries. And Paul went on to 2 Corinthians and named off all that crowd, and one of them he stopped on, listen to this, was false brethren. It don't take long. If somebody has me come preaching church by Tuesday or Wednesday night, I done spotted who the false brethren are. They're trying to tell me what to preach on. I don't like that. I got enough problems trying to find out what God wants me to preach without somebody in the church that don't want to hear certain things say, you ain't going to preach on this, are you? Yeah. Why, heaven forbid, I'd never dream of it. But now that you brought it up, it does sound like a good idea. But their plan was received in much contention, and he said their plan was recognized. He said in verse 3, he said, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." What did they go there and do? They brought Thessalonica one message. One message. That was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ being sufficient to save sinners. So what color were Paul's sandals? I don't care. They were there to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how His blood paid the penalty for their sins. Paul, you'll never find one time where he gets up there and says, well, Thessalonica, our sins. He said, no, your sins. You go through the Bible, you find out the guy speaking generally is pointing a finger. And reason being, he's already got in on this message and he wants them to get in on with him. If he gets up there and makes everybody equal, nobody gets in. You ever heard these people say, now our sins, we're all sinners, we're all going to hell. Well, I'd be lying if I said it because April 7th, 1994, got saved. How am I going to say I'm going to hell? I'd be lying against God, wouldn't I? Listen to this. We take this thing literal. We take this thing serious. And we're not up here to judge anybody, even though people think that's all we do. Well, y'all just a bunch of judgmental whatevers. All I see is there, he says, we were allowed of God to get up there and preach this thing to you. Now, listen to this. The message isn't we're better than you. The message is that Jesus Christ is better than all of you. The message is He's the sinless Son of God that was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, could not even have the possibility of sinning in Him because He was God manifest in the flesh, and He gave His life as a ransom for all. And here's the tricky part of it. He died for everybody, so on Judgment Day, nobody has an excuse to say, well, you didn't die for me. I wasn't one of the elect. Yeah. They'll be sitting there guilty as charged and refusing God's only plan of salvation. He said, Thessalonica, when we came to you, you received this message. You didn't turn it down. You received it. You church folks at Thessalonica, he says y'all received it. He said, in this thing here we spoke, verse 4, not as pleasing men, but God. You know what the worst thing in the world you can find is? Somebody that's always trying to please somebody else. How are you today? God bless you. Do you like my teeth, brother? I took him a picture of Joel Osteen's teeth. I said, I want to set like them because he smiles pretty. Yeah. Hey, some folks I've seen preach through 52 chapters of Jeremiah and never mention the word sin. How they do that? Listen, he said, we're doing this to please God, not men. There was no denominational ladder, no company ladder to be sought, no elevated positions and no salaries to be had because Paul was doing this for the Lord. Isn't that something? I heard a fella tell me one time, said, if you preachers didn't get paid, you wouldn't show up. I said, and if you wouldn't get paid on your job, you wouldn't show up either. Just for a fact. But I'll tell you this. I've drove hundreds of miles knowing I wasn't going to get paid to do something and show up anyway. You know why? I wasn't going there for money. It's hard to get down a brick house road 3 times a week knowing this. Because sometimes I don't feel like it. Don't shake your head yet at me. How old are you? 15 years old? Listen, you ain't even felt bad yet. It's hard on everybody. It's easier to go to church now than it used to be. You know why? Back in 2005, we moved in town. We was living behind a church. That was the hardest walk I made. I had people show up at the parsonage back there and said, can I have something to eat? Here's some crackers. You got any soup to go with them crackers? Strange things. And we're not talking about starving people. It's more, he's just down on starving. No, we're talking about people that's just like you that went and left a house full of pizzas and ice cream and raviolis and all this other stuff you got. Or God help you, if you're a vegan, get right with God and get you some pork and some turkey and some ham and stuff like that. But I see a lot of people take advantage of stuff and they say all this stuff. Paul said, here's what we did. We came to you, we preached to you, and you received the gospel. By their own testimony, they were born again. By their own life, they were born again. And he says this, when he talks about credentials, he shows that a church has a plan. They start off with one thing. That's not to get people from other churches in their church. It's to get sinners saved. Can I tell you something right quick before we move on? Before I got saved, I didn't know any of my people around me was church people. After I got saved, they was inviting me to every church under the sun. Every one of them. Oh, you got to come down here. We got youth programs. What I care? I wasn't even married. What was I going to do with that? Oh, wait a minute. You're married and got a child? Oh, well, you need to come to our church. Well, last week he's telling me dirty jokes. This week you want me to come to church? Did they teach y'all that down there? Just asking. It's kind of like a fellow I went and witnessed to over near the peach shed. I told him, I said, you know, you need to get saved. He said, yeah, I think I do. And led him to the Lord. A week later, I couldn't find him. His cousin had a church. He didn't know his cousin even saved, but he got saved. I said, what are you going to do with all that? He said, I don't know. He said, you are kind of right about that, though. I didn't. He said, matter of fact, he's the one taught me to cuss when I was little. I'm sure God changes people over time, but I don't know, man. I don't know. But I do know this much. The church's plan is not to get everybody else's members. The church's plan to go after lost sinners. Listen, the church where you attend that, you ought not worry about what they're doing down the road, how you get Uncle Joe out of that church and get him up there. Listen, you ought to worry about getting you there 3 times a week. And you ought to worry about how you can find some sinner that needs the Lord, that you can get them saved, and they come in there, and you won't be robbing fish out of another bowl. Now listen to me. That's the plan of a church. That's a credential. If they come in and says, we got this, and we got this, and we got this, we got this, we got this. We do these things over here, ice cream socials and coffee suppers and blah, blah, blah. And we go out and shoot people, bring them in, have cannibal meals and all this other stuff. You know, you hear all kinds of stuff nowadays trying to attract people. I'm not interested in what they do to get people in the door.
Yeah.
I'm interested in whether God can get them in the door.
That's right.
I've got people in my church that got saved and got in. You know what? I can't run them off. I tried. I threw water on them one time. I took the Baptist out of the water in the Baptist and just slung that thing over them. I knew a bunch of them was mad. You remember that, Mom? I slung water all over them. They still wouldn't leave. In fact, they kind of laughed about it and got right with God later. If I'd have known that worked 3 weeks before that, I'd have hit them with the water. But a church has got to have a plan. It's a credential to show that they're God's church and they're doing something for the Lord. Second credential, if you look down in verse number 6... we see that they not only had their plan, but he saw their preaching. This is a mark of a church right here. He says down there in, verse 5. For neither at any time we use flattering words, as you know, for a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Not of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we would have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. What was their credential? Preaching. What kind of preaching? Truthful preaching. He said it wasn't as a cloak of covetousness. He said we didn't preach humility and walk in pride. We preached against pride and walked in humility. We didn't preach that it was okay to take a drink every once in a while. We preached that God was against it in Genesis, and he's against it all the way through the Bible, and he's against it in the end. So will one beer hurt you? I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will, because there's some of you here, if you got a taste of one in your mouth, you'd have 5 in the next 10 hours. You're something about your flesh, you'd keep going back to that thing. Don't tell me it's okay. Listen, don't tell me Jesus drank wine because he didn't. Don't tell me he turned the water into wine, it was alcoholic wine, because they wasn't a bottle of Mad Dog could have been pulled out of the whole gallons of the thing sitting there. In fact, if you study alcohol very long, you're going to find out something. The thing they call wine today ain't even wine. They take it, get it in the vat, some old fat lady stomps on it with her nasty feet, gets all that grape juice down in the pile for you, and then they add 15% of brandy into that thing. So you're drinking feet and alcohol. Bless your heart. Y'all ain't never watched I Love Lucy? You know. Hey, that's what happens. That's what happens. And listen to this. When people say, well, we're going to use it as a cloak of cup, we're going to say it's okay to drink a little bit because we don't want our deacons mad. Fire every one of them at drink.
Yeah.
Listen, if you know my members out drinking, please tell me. I want to go talk to them about it and see if it's true.
Amen.
Because listen, if I got a deacon drinking, I want to go to him and tell him, look, you need to repent of that thing, get right with God. If he says, well, it's okay, the preacher down the road says, okay, we can go to that church then. And listen, he says there in that verse, he points out neither at any time we use flattering words, there's no cloak of covetous because of this right here. God is witness. I'm not worried about everything that's being said about this stuff, but I'm going to say this. They can keep on doing it all they want to. They're going to give account of every word to God they said about that stuff. God's going to call every preacher into accountability for running their pie hole about it's okay to drink so they won't get their deacon's wives mad.
That's right.
The Lord's going to get that thing. He said, God is witness. The two things that sinners never count on. Number one, God's seen it. And number two, God will make you account of it.
Yeah.
Notice verse 6. He said, nor of men sought we glory. Nor of men sought we glory. Why? We was doing truthful preaching. He says this thing right here, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. He said we weren't trying to get on nobody's good side and get an inroad into the city. He said, in fact, we got thrown out by the politicians and the local synagogue, but that's okay. We wasn't there to please them. We was there to please God, and we was there to preach the truth, whether it made them mad or made them happy.
Yeah.
You know, God's got people everywhere. He just does. He's got people in the strangest places. And what I find out is a lot of them are there just by default. It's like they accidentally got saved and they're where they're at. How'd that happen? Well, salvation's the easy part. It's believing on the Son of God, repenting of your sins and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, and being born again by the grace of God. Now here's the funny thing. Listen to this. When people can't get a hold of that thing, and they sit in a church like this one, and they constantly doubt their salvation, and they don't know what's going on, listen, talk to the man of God. Get the Bible out. Find out why you are like that. We are not a wishy-washy outfit. And their preaching was not a preaching that would be a cloak of covetousness to try to make you think they believe something they did not. I know people right now, when they go to certain places, the same. There'll be a Free Will Baptist this week, a Church of God next, and an Independent the week after that, and a Presbyterian the week after that. And if you follow them around, they'd act like four different types of people. They're a chameleon. Don't be a chameleon. Don't use a cloak of covetousness to get in the door and get you a backdoor love offering over there. Amen and amen. Listen, what you need is to have the truth and have truthful preaching. And when I go into church and they run in Church of God up there one night and they run in the Baptist the next night and they run in something else the next night, I know that ain't the right church. If they quoting Benny Hinn this week and they quoting Jimmy Swaggart next week and Sammy Allen the week after that, I know they're not the right church. There's too many mixed up things there. If they quoting Smith's Wigglesworth one week and Charles Spurgeon the next, there's something not right about that crowd. What is it? They got mixed up in there somewhere. And you know what? I'm not going to raise a family in that.
Amen.
Listen, I want a church where they're going to have truthful preaching. But if you notice in verse 7, it was thoughtful preaching. He said, but we were gentle among you. How about that?
Amen.
He said, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. I've got to see three of them things born and put bottles in their mouth and everything else. And you're always nice with the baby and real tender with it. He said, that's how we treated you. That's how we treated you. We were tender with you. We didn't come in there. Listen, they just run two guys out of a church in Georgia the other day that showed up from London. And they come over to Canada. And now they're down here in the South. And they're showing up at some of these churches. And they're getting up and on the back row of the church. As soon as church is over, they start street preaching on the back row of the church. So what are they preaching? The gospel? Anything but that. They're more like that crowd, that Westboro crowd. In one of them churches down there in Georgia, as soon as they started, before the pastor could tell the deacons to get them out, they got them out.
Yep.
So what was they preaching against? Oh, they was being very vulgar towards the women. Calling them bad words. So they wasn't holy. Get this. You don't have to believe me. Channel 7 reported it, and if they lied, I'm lying to you. Now, let me ask you a question. When does it become right to rake a crowd out for no reason? Because, see, here's something I deduced from this article. If you're from London and God didn't send you to Georgia, why are you there? That's the wrong crowd. Wrong crowd. Hey, listen. I've had people, I've been standing in line at Walmart and people talk about me like a dog and me standing there and them not know who it was. And I was as nice to them before they started talking. I said, hey, who's that guy you talking about? And they'd tell me. I said, my goodness, that's a rough character right there. I said, when did you do all this? Oh, it was just last week. Really? Last week? You know this for a fact? Oh, yeah. Got a video? You know, it's the YouTube generation. Surely you got a video or something like this. I said, no, but such and such told us. I said, they go to that church? I said, no, but they know somebody that knows somebody that's kin to somebody that died that used to go there. And they said it happened last week. I said, what about the guy that died over there? How did he know last week? Did he die last week? No, he died 10 years ago. I said, well, your chain of command's messed up there somewhere. I said, I'm glad I'm a nice guy unlike that person. They said, exactly. I didn't have the heart to tell them who I was. Let me tell you what that thing is. That's a straw man that when somebody who's not doing right don't want you to know they're not doing right, they build a straw man to attack to get your eyes off of them. And since I can say it, I will. How many times did Hillary or Obama get brought up on something and magically a something happened the next day?
Absolutely.
I mean, the news got flooded with a terrorist attack or a cop getting shot or something like that, or something broke over here, or somebody in Hollywood was breaking up with their wife again for the fifth time. That, you know, how'd that happen? It's a swerve. If we don't want you to see what's going on, we'll create a fictional thing over here, a straw man, let you go chase that thing so you won't see what we back over here doing. Have any of y'all seen The Wizard of Oz? That's the principle they're using. They don't want you to see the man behind the curtain, that it's fake. The credentials is they're preaching. It was truthful preaching. It was thoughtful preaching. He said this thing here, we were gentle among you. He said, this is how gentle we were in verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to impart it unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Listen. I don't think a church that's got the truthful preaching, it'll also have to have the thoughtful preaching, and it's got to be preaching for those that show up. Do you know how easy it is to blow out a crowd in here? Well, let me tell you something. If that crowd was here, we would blow. Preach to them when they show up. We was up in North Carolina at this meeting, and this disqualified preacher come in, and nobody knew who he was, me and this other guy sitting there. And I mean disqualified 3-4 times over by 10 different things. I mean, this guy's a mess. All them big tough guys got up and preached that day. We got down there in the lunch line. They said, who was that strange looking guy come in? I told him, they said, that was who that was. Well, if I'd have known that, I'd have just told him this, that, and other. Well, looks like if God wanted you to tell all that, he'd have told you before you got down here.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, I said, why don't you just go tell him? He lives right up the road here. Maybe you could be the guy that helps him out. I ain't got time to fool him. Sure you don't. Sure you don't. You won't make time because you're not thoughtful of people. Listen, late Dr. Marty Sampson told me something I've never forgot before I ever started pastor church. He said, God put you there to pastor people and preach to those people, not the ones that don't show up.
Right.
Not the ones that don't come. Not Jimmy Swaggart, because he ain't never going to come listen to you. Or Oral Ripoff or none of the rest of them. He said, preach to who shows up. And whether it's just one shows up, preach to them. We had a snow one time down at the church. One guy made it to church. And I thought, man, he showed up. I'm going to go preach to him. There was no doubt who the message was for. But he did tell me after service, I wish they could have come today, brother. I wish they could have come today. They're preaching. Their plan, that's credentials of a church, not a social club. But then you'll notice that in verse number 9, their proof. He says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. It was in the life of those preachers. Here not long ago, I think it might have been, well, it's been pretty good a little while ago, maybe 15, 20 years. A preacher came to this town, and some of his members came to my church. They was having revival, and they come in. They built that guy up, said, he's the greatest thing since snuff. They said, in fact, you ought to have a dip. He said, good. I said, okay. Sounded good, man. 3 months later, he disappeared. I figured they must have killed him and buried him or something like that. I didn't know. But I ran into people. I said, what happened to y'all's preacher? I noticed his name's on the sign. I said, 3 months? They said, well, we found out where he came from. He had stiffed all in with a bunch of bills and furniture bills and all this other stuff. I said, so y'all run him off for that? They said, no, we run him off because a drug addict got saved, and he's trying to send that drug addict back to the drug neighborhood, give him some medical stuff because he was hooked on some kind of medication. So what's that? A black eye to me and that preacher and any other preacher in this town, and we never even done it. But listen to this. Paul said, look at that, verse 9. You remember how our labor and travail. Our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, he said, because we would not be charged with any of you. Hey, these men of God did something the rest of them wouldn't. They were transparent with the world. The late Dr. Lee Robertson that pastored up in Tennessee, he pastored a bunch of rich people and all that other stuff, preached the same Bibles I got up here, loved God, great man of God. And to keep folks off his back, he put a glass front on the front of his house. And when you drove down I-40 going home, you could look up there and see him sitting up there in his bedroom slippers and his, a bathrobe or whatever, reading the paper in the evenings. He said, I don't want nobody to say I did anything I haven't done. He said, I refuse to talk to people behind closed doors. He is way ahead of his time. He wouldn't talk to men behind closed doors either. Hey, he said, I don't want to be chargeable to any of them. The life of that preacher is not only his message, but what he lives backs up whether he actually believes what he preaches. How would you feel tonight, brother, if you went out here and I've been blowing out this drinking all night and you caught me up at the store up there buying a 6-pack of beer? You know what I'd tell you it's for? I'm just cooking with it. That's what I'd say. Because that's what they all say. I'm only going to drink one, you know. Why make me the biggest fool and hypocrite in this building? Right? Now you can shake your head, yeah. Okay. But I want to tell you something. The life that Paul lived in front of them, he lived the same thing he preached. And by the way, no matter who you are, that's what you do anyway. Because people hear what you do louder than what you ever say. Those of you who don't pay your bills, start paying your bills. Get your credit right. So I didn't come down here to hear this preacher. I know that's why I come to tell it to you, because you didn't want to hear it. Listen, pay your bills. Go back and pay your house payment. Get it caught up. Quit running off to Six Flags of Georgia and all this other stuff people waste their money on. And pay your bills. If you told that guy down at the boat place and you bought the boat, you'd pay $235 a month for 60 months for that boat. Pay him up. Pay him up. And listen, don't ever try to tell somebody, well, you need to get saved and you owe everybody in town and won't pay them what you owe them, you liar. Do you know this Bible says all liars wind up in the lake of fire? If you tell a man you pay him and don't pay him, what's that make you? Liar. So what he say was backing up their preaching? Simple. Their proof. And their proof was their life. He said, we labored night and day. Night and day. He said, we stayed with it. We stayed to the task. We stayed with the things of God. We not only went out there and did it, we lived by it. And here's the thing that'll get you. Paul had one supporting church as a missionary. And it wasn't Thessalonica. They didn't have no money there. So why was he there? To win souls for Christ. That was the plan. How'd he do it? Through their preaching. He proved to them he's right. And the proof was what? Life. Your life is what you really are. Now notice this in verse 10. He said, you're witnesses and how God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And he points out, he said, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. What was he doing? He had proof. Proof number one was what he lived, and proof number two was what come out of his lips. Right? Let's say your preacher was teaching on William Tyndale a while ago and then went out here and stubbed his toe and started saying a bunch of bad words. You know what you'd say? Well, he's just like us. Because half y'all do that stuff. Amen. One honest guy, and it ain't you. The youth of America. But listen to me very carefully. What's in your heart will come out your lips. If you fill your heart full of stuff like that, if you read books all the time that talks about vulgar things and stuff like that, eventually that's going to come out your mouth. You say, I'm saved. It won't happen to me. It will happen to you. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. He didn't say out of the lost mouth. He said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Got to be careful what you put in because it's coming right back out. Oh, and this just in, don't do it around your children because they'll tell on you before you will. I asked the kid a while back, I said, where was you at Sunday? And she said, I was at home. I said, why was you at home? She said, because my mom was crazy. And I was thinking to myself, only in Georgia can you get these. You thought it was somebody here, didn't you? Listen, my mama's crazy. Y'all thought I was talking about one of y'all's kids said that before I said Georgia, didn't you? This little boy, he was down at Brother Wooten's church down there. And he come up, he said, "Preacher, have you heard the news?" Talking to his pastor. He said, "They all over Facebook mad." How'd he know that? He can't read. 3 years old. They mad on Facebook, preacher. Really? Well, tell one of those people to come to church, get their heart right with God, or get out in the yard and fight or something, but quit get out behind that keyboard, okay? Some of y'all texting right now, hashtag I hate this dude. He's meddling way too much. One long word.
Hashtag preach.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, their life was proof that they had a church and a plan, and their plan was preaching. It was winning lost souls. It was edifying the body of Christ. It was getting God's message in front of their message. It was saying that Jesus Christ was all was perfect and not them. But yet they, every day with their life, they tried to live something so they wouldn't be accountable for souls going to hell saying, "What a hypocrite." Let me ask you something. When's the last time somebody come up to you and said, "Well, you're just the best Christian I know. Mark this down. That dude will stab you in the back, because with flattering mouth worketh ruin." That's what this book says. But let me ask you this. When's the last time you looked over at somebody else and said, "You know, in spite of everything, God uses that person. In spite of everything, somehow, even through their faults and their failures, yet they still try to live for God when they can. They put forth their best effort. They try to preach and live the same thing." Wouldn't it be good if we'd all do that? Wouldn't it be good if we'd take and say, "You know what? That message I received of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm going to live that message." You know why? Because that message changes lives. I was sitting in a funeral a couple weeks ago, me and my wife, and we heard a guy say this, "You need to try Jesus." I thought, oh boy. I tried Crystal Pepsi one time. I tried New Coke one time. Y'all remember that one? And for all you that don't know, they're probably going to reintroduce Crystal Pepsi. I guess y'all have a phobia to dark drinks or something, so they give you a clear one, the same taste and everything. Don't make any sense. If I wanted that, I'd drink water or Sprite. Amen and amen. But listen to me. I look at all that stuff and I say this. I don't want what's advertised on the outside of that stupid bottle. I want to know what's inside of it. That'll tell me what it is. And if I come visit your church Sunday, what am I going to run into? Am I going to have to walk through cigarette smoke to get in the back door? You say, "Oh, you preach people smoke and go to hell?" I never said that, but if you're thinking that, that's probably something right there, isn't it? When I got saved, I got out of the bars where I wouldn't smell like smoke all the time. And I smoked 10 years myself. I know what I'm talking about. It's hard to quit. When I get in and sit down, am I going to hear people exchanging prayer requests or gossip? "Did you see what she had on? Lord have mercy." It had that big old hat on her to woo. When the man of God gets up to preach, is he going to say, "All have, well, you know, made mistakes and had shortcomings"? Or is he going to tell us we sinned? Listen, what am I going to get out of that? When we walk out of there, where are you headed to? Where are you headed to tonight? Some of you headed to sin right now. Your little feet's ready to run the mischief so bad you can't stand it. And I'm talking to everybody up this way, not back in the corner. You ready to get in it? Listen. Get yourself right with Jesus. There's three words you need to know about Jesus. Outside of him, there's three words that applies to everything. You ready? Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. The church has a plan. The church has preaching. And the church has proof. There won't be any perfect churches, but I want you to know this. They ain't no perfect cops. They ain't no perfect funeral directors. They ain't no perfect convenience store clerks. They ain't no perfect politicians. But you got to have a credential to be any one of them things. And I just told you what the ones are for a church. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.